And today, the title of today's sermon is called Keeping It Real. Keeping It Real. So join me, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 7 through 12 and let that serve just as the text that we will look at this morning. So the Apostle Paul, writing to the people living in Corinth, in many ways defending accusations and criticisms that had been lodged against him and his companions, but also desiring that the people that he first shared the gospel with would have a deeper understanding of their faith. He continues in his letter to write this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Jesus, I pray simply today that you would illuminate our hearts to understand this word of what it means for us, what it means for others, and what it might mean for the world. And I ask these things by your grace and your mercy and your power and your love, in your name, Jesus. Amen. You know, there's the power of having the right perspective on things. There's ways of looking at things that can make those things look and appear very different in our lives, from small things to big things. And often, what we think is that if the circumstances would change, then things would be better. When often, if the perspective of how we look at it changes, it can't accomplish the same thing. Now, this is not necessarily something that happens in the blink of an eye or a snap of a finger, but it's something that often takes time to develop. But what Paul is saying in this passage, I believe, is that given enough time and given enough experience, that we will see that there are things in this world that look overwhelming, but that cannot overcome the power of God in our lives. Amen. The power of perspective. As a simple example, I remember years ago, we were taking our family on vacation. Someone had offered us the use of their beach house in Rhode Island. So we packed up our four kids in the Dodge Durango, and we loaded it up, and we started driving, you know, from here down to Rhode Island. But somewhere about halfway there, my muffler decided to fall off of the Durango. And what happened was it was rusting, you know, against the connection. And so the whole thing didn't fall off, but it kind of, half of it fell off, and it started dragging, and we pulled over. And, of course, how horribly disappointing, right? The entire truck is loaded up. Everybody's ready to go to the beach for a week. We're stuck there in the road. You know, what do we do? And we realized it just needs the muffler replaced. So I called up one of the muffler shops, and they said, yes, we can do it, and here's what it's going to cost. And I'm like, well, we won't have as much money on vacation as we thought we would, but we can do it. And so we were stuck there in a place we hadn't planned on with a broken muffler, feeling depressed, feeling worried about the money. And we put it in the shop, and it's going to take 3 hours to do it. And, you know, what are you going to do in that situation? There's a way of looking at it, which is like, this is just horrible. This really stinks. This is awful. So what we decided to do is that we decided to go get something to eat. Not a bad idea when you're feeling bad. And there was a great little pizza shop and that had ice cream. And so we went as a family with the kids, and we sat for 3 hours in a restaurant and had pizza and ice cream. And you know what? It was something that we hadn't planned on. It was something that we didn't even think was a possibility. But because of the situation we were in, we were able to experience a gift that we otherwise would not have been able to experience. Now, does that mean that it wasn't really stinky that that happened to us? No, it doesn't. It doesn't take away the reality of what happened. But something happened that was better, that put the original thing into its perspective. What I often like to tell people is, we all will face obstacles in our life. Am I right? There will always be obstacles. There always will be. There always will be. If you're trying to do something and you're not experiencing any obstacles, watch out, because they're coming. But with every obstacle, there's an opportunity. So when we're looking at the obstacle, we need to begin to shift our perspective and look for the opportunity. Because every obstacle in our lives presents us with an often unforeseen, unexpected opportunity. Many examples I can think of. I know people that have been injured, whether in high school or as an adult, and that injury kept them from either working or doing a sport that they wanted to do. But what that injury did was it forced them to stop doing what they were doing and created space in their life to be able to do something else. That after they went through it, they realized in a way became a gift because they did things that they otherwise weren't able to do. Being out of work is a huge obstacle, but it also creates an opportunity to do things that you normally don't have time to do, whether it's study or learn or travel or work on your own or whatever. Being alone in your life creates a space and opportunity for you to serve and connect with people in your community. Having no money in your life, which is an obstacle, can also be an opportunity to learn to appreciate and find out where the free things are in life and the things that don't cost any money and somehow reset the values. Every difficult thing in life presents with it a unique opportunity. And people will say, well, what about the most difficult things in life? The places where there is death and destruction and literal loss of life. How can in that situation there be any opportunity? And without denying the reality of the obstacle, often there's an opportunity in the worst of situations to experience the presence of God in the most powerful ways. But we don't get there in the blink of an eye. We don't get there in a turn of the page. It is a process that we must all go through. And to say that there are opportunities in every obstacle, I want to be very careful this morning, and I want us to be real this morning. That's why the title is Keeping It Real. And that life is hard. We don't need to ignore, we don't need to minimize, we don't need to avoid any of the hard things in life. We can acknowledge and name and experience that things are hard because the perspective that God is trying to get us to is one that is accomplished through time and experience. And sometimes when things don't make sense to us about hope and about things getting better and about opportunities and obstacles, I want you to know that's okay, because it might not be yet the right time for you to understand the reasons or the opportunities that exist for what you're going through. There is a time, as the Bible says, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And we can say that there are things that are hard in life right now. And I want to slow down, even in this sermon, I want to slow down and not run over it this morning as an example. And I want us to name and admit the things that are hard. Number one, it's really hard to watch the pain and suffering of other people in the world. What's happening in places of conflict, the absolute incomprehensible and horrible destruction of life in the Middle East is painful. And it creates all kinds of emotions in us, of anger at injustice and of deep sadness at innocent children and babies and people suffering because of a war. And the situation for the people living in Ukraine is very, very hard and difficult at this time. And the situation we have with immigrants trying to come across the southern border is very hard and very difficult. And the anger that we feel, the deep emotions that we feel that we can't even name, those are real. Those are real. When someone we know is sick, when someone we know is dealing with some kind of physical problem, it's difficult, right? It's difficult. When someone has been injured in an accident, it's difficult to watch someone go through that. It's hard to watch relationships around us end. There is a death in when a relationship, especially a close relationship, ends. There's a lot of pain in this world. People, can we just acknowledge without getting angry over the political debate, can we just acknowledge that there are communities in this country where people don't look like us, where they have suffered violence and brutality against them, where they suffer the fear of death? Can we just acknowledge that there are people who have loved ones who serve in the military or who serve in the police or serve in the fire department, and their anxiety over what's going to happen to their loved one is real? Can we acknowledge that? Can we just name it without getting angry? Or have we lost so much ability to have compassion for other people that all we care about is our anger and not the family that's starving at the border? Do we not care anymore about the pain and suffering of others? Because it's too much to feel. It's too much to name. It's hard when we can't do anything about it. Ah, there it is, isn't it? One of the hardest pains to deal with in our lives or in someone else's is when we can't do anything about it. Just let that sit for a minute. And you know what? People want to say, oh yes, but I've suffered too. We don't have to play a comparison game of suffering. Did you know that? Your suffering is real, and it's yours. It doesn't matter if it's bigger or smaller than anyone else's. You know, people try to minimize their suffering by saying, oh yeah, but I don't have it as bad as another person. That's probably true, but it's okay to feel bad about what you're going through. It's okay to acknowledge that it hurts, or that it feels bad, or that it's sad, or that it makes you angry, or that you feel pain in your heart about it. I look around this room, I think of the people watching online, and we've all suffered. Some of us have suffered horrible, unspeakable things. Some of us have suffered sickness, injury, the loss of a job, a divorce. Things that really hurt. Things that are really difficult to go through. And we don't have to compare our suffering. This is not a game. Your suffering is your suffering. And it hurts. And we can acknowledge and name that today. Paul, the apostle who wrote this passage, had a lot of suffering in his life. When he says we were hard-pressed, we were perplexed, you know, we were beaten down, we were persecuted, he was being real. It wasn't just the emotional kind, which can hurt as well, but Paul literally had been beaten. He literally had been put in jail. He was run out of cities because people wanted to kill him. He was severely criticized. He was condemned. He was mocked. He was made fun of. People twisted what he said to work against him. People said lies about him. He had friends that failed him and betrayed him and left him when he needed them the most. His life was difficult. He is not saying this as someone who, oh, you've never experienced anything. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the pain that I've been in. Yeah, he does. And you know what? So does everybody else. Because life is hard and life is painful. And you don't need to think or try to push someone off by saying, well, you don't understand because you haven't lived my life. Well, you know what? I haven't lived yours either, and you haven't lived mine. And guess what? Life is hard. Life is painful. And all of those things that Paul went through, guess what? Jesus went through them as well. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was tortured. Jesus was falsely accused. Jesus was condemned. Jesus had people who wanted to kill him. Jesus had friends who wanted to betray him. Jesus had times when he felt extremely alone. And Jesus had times when he was surrounded by people and was drained by the enormity of the need that he was expected to fulfill. Jesus knows that life is hard. Paul knew that life was hard. You and I know that life is hard for us and for other people. And one of the things we don't want to do is tell people phrases that seem to minimize or deny someone's experience. Like, oh, you know, it'll be all right. That may be true, but there's a time and place to say that. Or just get over it. Or why don't you look at it from this thing? Those things may be objectively true, but someone may not be at the point yet where they understand that. And I think there's a better way to acknowledge that life is hard, but at the same time, to acknowledge that God's power is real. Is it possible we could do both? Is it possible we could say God's power is real without minimizing the experience of pain and suffering? Would there be a way in our lives to accept and acknowledge that life is hard, really hard, and at the same time, to accept and acknowledge that God's power is real? It's really real in our lives. And I think maybe we could begin to say to ourselves and others, instead of just get over it, God will help you through it. And sometimes they sound the same, and I get that. But somewhere along the line, we realize that we still woke up the next morning, and life goes on. And that somehow, if I'm here, then God is here. And that's enough. Just to get me through the day. Just to take the next step. Just to realize that even these hard, difficult things, while we must go through them, they will not ultimately destroy us. Paul says we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. You know, it's the pressing, as we sang, that sometimes produces something really amazing and wonderful. You know, the song talked about wine, right? You don't get wine without crushing the grapes. You know the ones, right? You don't get diamonds without hard-pressing the coal. You don't get that wonderful olive oil that you put a little salt and pepper in, you just dip your bread in. Oh, who's getting hungry with me now, right? It doesn't come unless the olives are crushed, right? Does that deny the fact that the olives were crushed? No. But somehow the sweetness of what comes after puts it into perspective. So it doesn't minimize the pain, but when something greater comes, it puts it into its proper perspective. And we have a different understanding of what it's about. Could it be that in our lives, the essence of us, the oil of us, our souls, cannot be destroyed? And that if we're hard-pressed, that something might be released in us that is more true to who we are and more alive and more real than ever before. We have to remember that the hard-pressing will not ultimately destroy us, but it could actually produce something greater within us. Paul says we are perplexed but not in despair. Now, this one's interesting because if you go back to the beginning of this book, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8, Paul says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Oh, so wait a minute. So you were in despair. He says later on, we were perplexed but not in despair. But he admits it was really hard. I'm letting you guys know this was tough. We were hard pressed to the point where we were in despair. But later on, he says, we're perplexed but not in despair. You see the process? At one point, he felt like there was no hope. But as God continued to show up, and continued to guide them through. And as they were able to look back on it, he could say, I no longer have despair in my life. And I love perplexed. I may not understand everything that happened. Can I get an amen this morning? How many of you know there are things in your life that you may not understand exactly why it happened, but you're far enough away where you can say, you know what? It didn't kill me. My life isn't over. I'm still here. I've still got a future. I've still got a hope. Because even though I know things were really hard, I know God is really real in my life. Can I get an amen this morning? We got to know that. But if you need to take time to get there, that's okay. You may not be at the place where it's like, you know, it's really bad, but it's all going to be good. You may not be there yet. That's okay. The only way you can get there is through experience. Sometimes the only way you learn something is by doing it. You know, we used to tell kids the only way you learn soccer is by playing soccer. So you can't just do drills all day. You got to play it. You got to do it. Maybe the only way we learn anything in life is by practicing, right? Thinking of a conversation I had this week. Maybe if you want to be brave, you have to practice being brave. You know, maybe if you want to be anything, you have to practice being that. It's all a practice. And what does practice mean? We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to get it right. Nothing comes right away, but it's time, time, time. Hang on to this. Some of you are not ready for this message this morning. I fully understand that. Some of you are not ready for this. And you're going to have questions and misunderstand. That's okay. Hold on to this as the seed of hope that with the power of God in our lives, we can be hard-pressed but not crushed. We can be perplexed but not in despair. We can be persecuted but not abandoned. God is with you. And there's all kinds of persecution in this world. And can we please, for the sake of unity, stop comparing our persecution to other people? And we do this, and I do it, and God forgive me. You know, someone says, you hurt my feelings. And I'm like, oh, boo-hoo. That's very inconsiderate of me. And that, you know, and I may understand the truth behind what I said, but I was praying on this message today, and I thought, you know, if your persecution is somebody's hurting your feelings, that's real to you. And I want you to know that if someone is hurting your feelings, if someone is offending you, God is still with you. There's other kinds of persecution, though, right? People can start to say bad things about you. Sometimes at work, sometimes on social media, they can slander you. And they can get to the point where you might lose your job, right? Or there might be some consequence to what you're doing. There could be people trying to tell lies about you. There could be people taking you to court. That's the kind of persecution, trying to get your money away from you, trying to take things from you. That persecution is real too. And you know what? You're not abandoned. You're not alone. God is with you. And there are people who are being persecuted and are in fear of their physical lives, even this morning, because people are after them and they want to kill them, literally. And that happened to Paul. All levels of those things happened to Paul. Paul offended people and probably was offended. Paul was spoken against. People wanted to condemn him. People wanted to come after him physically. But he said, now that I've made it through all those things, God was always with me. Amen. I was never alone. I was never alone. I was never alone. And again, you may not be able to hear that this morning, but I'm saying it because I want to give you a seed of hope. I want to tell you it's true. Whatever you're going through, you are not alone. Can you hear me this morning? Whatever you're going through, you are not alone. Whatever your loved one is going through, guess what? You are not alone. You have never been alone, and you never will be. And that is the truth that even if it takes us our whole lives, we can live into. Persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And on a sports Sunday, right, you know I got to think of Rocky Balboa. It's not how hard you get hit. But it's about, you know, how many times you can get hit and keep moving forward, you know? It's not about how many times you fall down. It's about how many times you get up, right? And we get knocked down in life, and it really, really hurts. And people want to minimize it, and people want to say, oh, it's not that bad, and oh, you're just making a big deal out of it, and oh, you're just this soccer player on the field. You know how we love to make fun of soccer players? Oh, I'm so hurt, and they can't get up, right? But people treat us like that. But when you're on the ground, you're like, no, it really hurts. You know, and then later on, we're like, oh, I guess it doesn't hurt so much anymore. But how do we get from that point to that point? By going through it. And God doesn't come to you when you're knocked down on the ground and say, come on, you can get up, you can do it. God doesn't come to us when we're knocked on the ground and look at us and say, oh, I told you so. You shouldn't have done that. You should have been more prepared. God doesn't come to us when we're knocked on the ground and goes, you know what? That person over there was knocked down a little harder, so I'm just going to go over there and take care of them first because it's really not as bad for you. God doesn't say that. You know what God says when you get knocked down? Sometimes he sits down on the ground with you, says, yeah, that really hurts, doesn't it? You're like, yeah, God, it does. Yeah, I know. I was knocked down like this once in a game. Oh, you were, Jesus? Yeah, I was. Let's just sit here for a minute. After a little bit of time, Jesus says, how you feeling? I'm feeling a little better. Right, let me help you up. Amen? Amen. Jesus doesn't say, just get over it. get up. Jesus says, let me help you up. Instead of getting over it, let me help you through it. Let me teach you by my active, constant, faithful, loving presence in your life that nothing will crush you. Nothing will destroy you. Nothing will strike you down. But in all things, you will be able to endure whatever comes your way because my power is real. Again, Paul wrote, after he had been through, after he had lived his life, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I've been well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And people have taken that verse. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And they've said, I am going to do this great thing in the future because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So I am going to win the World Series. I'm going to win the Super Bowl. I am going to make tons of three-pointers in my life. I am going to start a business and be successful. I am going to start an Instagram account and I'm going to have 5 million followers because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am going to succeed in life because of Christ who gives me strength. It's not quite what Paul said, is it? If we look literally at what Paul said, he's talking about what he's been through, not what he's going to do. You with me? He's talking about what he's been through, not what he's going to do. So he says, listen, I've been in situations where I've been in need, and I've been in situations where I've had plenty. And he said, I have learned the secret. It's not like he learned the secret before he went through. He had to go through it to get to that point of perspective, right? And once he went through it and got to that point of perspective, he said, I've learned that I can be content in any situation because what I've learned is that I can do all things through him and give me strength. So it's not I can achieve this goal. It's that whatever happens to me, if I achieve this goal or if I fail miserably, I can survive it because I have learned that God is with me every step of the way. And I don't think he's going to leave me now. I don't think he's going to leave me now. I've been through really horrible stuff. And God got me through it. And I've had some amazing, incredible, beautiful experiences. And God was with me there too. And I've achieved some goals that I've had for my life. And God's strength has helped me. But I've also had spectacular failures and messed up so many times. And God is with me. And what I want to remind myself of today, and if you're wondering, yes, this is where the preacher is preaching to himself. And may God give you whatever it is that God wants to give you this morning. What I need to remember is that no matter what may come, hallelujah, God is with me, and God will see me through it. Paul said we have this treasure in jars of clay. And there's two ways to look at that image. A jar of clay is much less valuable than the treasure that it holds inside of it. And again, it's not to diminish my value. But when Christ dwells in me, the glory of God face to face, it's more valuable. It's more precious. It's more beautiful. And to take something simple and ordinary and to place something so beautiful and powerful in it, to me, is just one of the greatest acts of love and hope that can ever be seen. And so no matter how you feel about yourself, right? No matter what your jar may look like. And by the way, all of your jars are beautiful. Now, I was going to wear a jersey today. Actually, I am wearing a jersey underneath this. But because the Broncos won the Super Bowl so long ago, that jersey doesn't fit the same way 10, 15 years later. So it's a very nice undershirt, this jersey. Because my jar is a little rounded these days. But you know what? It's my jar. It's my jar of clay. And I know I'm made of the dust of the earth. And I know my life is temporary. But this incomparable, surpassing glory and power and presence of God in my life is amazing. That this treasure that I carry within me is amazing. But we're not quite done yet. One more thing as we head to the communion table this morning. Paul makes an interesting comment. Death is at work in us so that life is at work in you. And I simply want you to think about this morning as we prepare our hearts for communion. I'm going to invite Johnny to go ahead and come. Is that there are things that are dying in us. And I want you to know that's okay. Because when something dies in your life, it creates space for something new. You with me? When something dies in your life, it creates something new. Because Jesus died and then he rose again. Because Jesus died, there is the possibility of resurrection. So Paul was saying there are ways in which, like Jesus, we are dying to ourselves. There are things in our life that are dying. But there's also things that are being resurrected. I just invite you to make this part of your prayer exercise. What in your life feels like it's dying right now? Is it possible that it's creating space for something new? And I don't know where you're at in your journey, but somewhere when you get towards getting through it, you can ask this question: God, what is being resurrected in my life? What is coming alive right now? That's such a great question. God, what is dying in my life? What is being resurrected, coming to life in me? Take a couple moments and just think about that. What is dying? What's hard? What's hurting? And is it creating space for God to do something new and wonderful in your life? And one final word, Paul says that death is at work in us so that life is at work in you, meaning that there are things that are going on in our life that have benefit in someone else's life. And this is about perspective. Because while it's about us and God, it's not all about us and God. When you're going through something difficult, other people are connected to you. Other people are watching. Other people are affected by what you're going through. And maybe something's dying in you so that something can live for someone else. I think of real life examples. We're all here. Because in a way, what a parent does is slowly give themselves away so that a child can live. So that in the end, by the grace of God, even our death might be a blessing to our children and our grandchildren. Oftentimes, the death of Christ is at work in us so that resurrection might happen in someone else. Just take a moment and meditate on that. Let the Spirit speak to you. Hallelujah.